You have a message on Christ and get everything. You can't. Obviously, there's it's impossible. It's physically and spiritually impossible to get everything about Christ in one little message. And tonight, as I tried, I'm just going to finish what I have down, but there's no way you can finish talking about Christ. We're going to spend eternity listening to Him and worshiping Him and enjoying our time with Him and our fellowship. And the Word of God has so much to say. Did I say go to John 1?
Yeah.
Well, I meant to go over to John 20. I didn't have this written down, but I do want to read these verses here. John 20, verse 30 and 31. And then we're going to look at John 21, the last verse of John's Gospel. All right, John 20, 30 and 31. John 20, 30 and 31, verses 30 and 31 of John 20. I'll read it. You follow along. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Take a look at the last verse of John, the very last verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and we pray that you bless the message tonight. Just use it for your honor and for your glory. Father, we pray that you would help us to see some things about you tonight that are so true from your Word. Again, Lord Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful for you and your death, your burial, your resurrection. Lord, we thank you for all the miracles that you performed here to prove that you were God. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. Just bless the service tonight and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we looked at his character, and we looked at just five aspects of his character. I don't know if you wrote them down or not, but the first one was what? Christ was what?
Good.
He is good, but that's not what I said. Doug. Wrong notes. Wrong notes. That was going through his notes. The first thing we said, he's absolutely holy. Holy. And we talked about how he is God. Christ is God. That's what makes him holy. Second thing was what? Doug?
I get my notes right.
No, that's all right. I'm not picking on you. Huh?
Creator.
Well, that was part of being holy and being God. No, that was part of being holy and being God. No, that's, I didn't even say that, Bob. You were listening to somebody else this morning.
Humble.
Truly humble. Who said that?
I
all right, very good. Good job. Good job. That he was truly humble. Third thing I said was what?
Submissive,
completely submissive to the will of God. Number four? Can't hear you.
Servant.
All right. He was, the fourth thing was he lived a life of prayer. Come on, get my notes right, please. I didn't give you the numbers. That was the order that I tried. I'm usually pretty good at trying to give you the outline, but I just kind of got carried away this morning, so I apologize for that. But number four was he lived a life of prayer. Number five, he was a true servant and worker. He served so many people. He served everybody he came in contact with. He was a worker. He served. He didn't come to minister. He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. He didn't come to be served. He came to be a servant. And that's a great example for all of us. We should all try to be servants rather than being served constantly. Our flesh wants to be served. Our flesh wants to be appeased and satisfied and taken care of. But with Christ, he came, he put everybody else before himself. Christ was the light, and yet he hung in darkness on the cross. Christ was the life, and yet he poured out his soul unto death. He was the Son of God, and yet he died a criminal's death. Christ was holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, and knew no sin, and yet he was made sin when he took the guilty sinner's place and suffered in his stead. He bade the weary to come to him for rest, and yet he had no place to lay his head. He was the mighty God, yet he became a man and was crucified through the weakness of the flesh. He was the image of the invisible God, yet his visage was marred more than any other man through his beatings. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him, and yet he took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast, yet he humbled himself and became obedient even the death of the cross. He was the fountain of light, life, and yet on the cross he cried, I thirst. Christ is the way. Men without him are like Cain, wanderers and vagabonds. Christ is the truth. Men without him are liars, just like the devil. Christ is the light. Men without him walk in darkness and know not whither they go. Christ is the life. Men without him are dead in their trespasses and their sins. Christ is the vine. Men who are without him and not in him are withered branches prepared for the fire. And Christ is the rock. Men not built on him are carried away by the flood of judgment. Folks, it's all Christ. For the Christian, it's all Christ. It's supposed to be all Jesus Christ. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you two more things here tonight, and then we'll wrap this up. But secondly is his compassion. This morning was his character. Secondly is his compassion. It's amazing to see all of the different things that Christ did when he went out of his way to heal and to help and to guide and to direct. He healed the nobleman's son who was near death in Capernaum. He healed a demonic in the synagogue there in Capernaum. He healed Peter's mother-in-law who had a high fever. He gave a miraculous catch of fish to the disciples while he was in a boat with them. He healed a leper in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5. He healed the centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum. He healed a paralytic that was let down through the roof. He healed a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He did a lot of miracles on the Sabbath day. And got everybody there, at least all of the Pharisees, and everybody got mad at him because he simply healed and did good on the Sabbath day. He raised the widow's son in Nain, calmed a storm. Cast out a legion of devils in Matthew chapter 8. Healed a woman with an issue of blood. Raised Jairus' daughter. Healed two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Healed a mute man, a man who could not speak. Healed a crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. Healed many. Fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Walked on the water. Calmed a storm. Healed many who were sick in Gennesaret. They touched just his garment and were healed. Healed a woman of Canaan, the devil-possessed daughter of her. Healed a deaf and mute man. Healed many and fed 4,000 men plus women and children. Healed the blind man of Bethsaida. Healed a man who was born blind by putting clay on his eyes. Healed a devil-possessed boy in Matthew 17. Gave a coin in the mouth of a fish to pay taxes. Healed a crippled woman on the Sabbath day in Luke 13. Healed a man with dropsy on the Sabbath day in Luke 14. Cleansed 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem in Luke 17. Raised Lazarus from the grave in Bethany in Luke 14 and then in John chapter 11. Healed two blind men, Bartimaeus and another man, near Jericho in Matthew chapter 20 and Mark 10 and Luke 18. Healed the severed ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus, when he was arrested. You know, he didn't have to bend down and pick up that ear of Malchus and just put it on his ear that Peter took off with a sword. He didn't have to do that, but that's the type of man Jesus Christ was. That's the type of God he is. Cares so much about even those that hate him and despise him and would have nothing to do with him. And then finally, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. For us. Died for us, yes, but he rose from the dead for us. His compassion took him to the needy. His compassion, he didn't just stumble upon the needy, even though he did at times, but they came to him in droves. But he also went to them, went out of his way, got in a boat, and went across the Sea of Galilee to heal that demonic man in Mark chapter 5. Went out of his way to meet with the woman of Samaria and to save her soul. And countless people in that city that she was from was saved. He went out of his way to help people. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9 and verse 35. His compassion. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. Matthew 9:35. I encourage you to read the Gospels. If you've never read the Gospels, read the Gospels. I so often recommend that you read John first, and then when you get done with that, start from Matthew and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John again, and then, of course, Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians go right through the entire New Testament. But boy, when you read those Gospels, you read about Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole Bible is about Him, but you see what He did day after day and what he dealt with. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Do you ever just sit, I know malls today are closing up and probably don't go around sitting in malls, but have you ever just gone somewhere where there was a lot of people and just saw them have you ever just thought about their souls? I would say that if you're saved and truly a born-again child of God and you love the Lord, when you see people, often when we see people, we think about their souls. Amen. Are they going to heaven or are they going to hell? You see the multitudes, the masses of people. The fair was closed this year. Kathy and I go to the fair once in a while. And you see the masses of people. And it's overwhelming to see all those people. But immediately you think, do we have the compassion for those people like Christ did? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we just kind of let them pass on and we don't do anything about it. Christ didn't do that. He had tremendous compassion on everybody he met. Like I said, when they heard that he was in the area, when he was in town, when he was coming down a street or a road, they would come out, they would flock to him. He didn't turn them away. The disciples tried to turn him away, right? I mean, here's the multitude coming there, 5,000 men and 4,000 at another time, plus women and children. And the disciples said, send them home. Jesus said, wait a minute, let's calm down here. Let's feed them. Feed them? What are we going to do? We don't have enough money. We only have, a little bit of money here. We can't feed, thousands and thousands of people. Where are we going to? The nearest McDonald's is not even open yet. there's nothing we can do about this. Jesus said, hey, relax, guys. Calm down. I got this. And, of course, they searched out, and they found that little boy, grabbed his lunch, and just stole it from him. But that little boy, little as much as when God is in it, and he was able to take that little lunch and multiply it and feed thousands and thousands of people. And then they had leftovers for the next few days after that. Christ cares about people. He truly cares about people. He has compassion for people. It took him to the needy. Not only did his compassion take him to the needy, his compassion took him to the lost. The Bible says in Luke 19, if you don't know the verse, you can turn over to Luke 19. In verse 10, Luke 19:10. Many of you know the verse, Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How could he do that if he didn't have compassion on the people? He had compassion for people. He had compassion for the lost. He knew where the lost were going to spend eternity without him. You and I know where the lost will spend eternity without Christ. Do we have the compassion that Christ had? I know that we're not God. I know that we're not Christ. I know that we don't have the amazing amount of love that Christ had when he came to die on the cross for our sins. But if we're saved, we should have a lot more love than sometimes we show. Yeah, right. And so this love, this compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ took him to the lost. He was seeking the lost to save. He cared about the lost. He was dying on the cross and he's saving one of the thieves next to him. Amen. Dying. Can barely breathe, can barely speak, and yet he is saving the guy that's next to him as he repents and as he asks the Lord to remember him this day when he enters into paradise. And Christ was gloriously saving that man.
Amen.
What a blessing. Even while he was dying and losing his blood and losing his life, he was still saving souls. His compassion took him to the needy. His compassion took him to the lost. But his compassion also cost him his life. Look at John 10, verse 11. John 10 and verse 11. John 10, 11. John 10, 11. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life, giveth his life for the sheep. What did Jesus do? He gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life for you and I. A good shepherd, even an earthly shepherd, just a shepherd that is just a, you know, a typical man like anybody else, would be willing to lay down his life for his own sheep. So why would anybody be willing to lay down their life for their own flock of sheep? Well, that's a good shepherd is willing to do that. Jesus was using that analogy to say, look, I am the good shepherd. And he says, I am willing to do that. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at John 15, 13. So many verses that deals with this. 15, 13. These again, verses that you probably know, you've memorized. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Christ laid his life down for you and I. You read through John 15, and isn't it good to know that now we're his friends?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He actually calls us his friend.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. To be called a friend of God. You know, if the president called you or somebody very, very important called and said, hey, I just want to be your friend, you would feel honored about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, using this president we have, Donald Trump, if he called up one day and said, hey, I just like to be your friend. Okay, you can be my friend. Can I be your friend? You know, it's one of those things. We would feel honored about that, to be a friend with somebody so important. But Christ is the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
He's far more important than any president, any leader in the entire world.
Amen.
And he calls us friends. And we have a never-ending connection with him.
Yeah.
One day Kathy says, I would like to get Donald Trump's cell number. I just want to text him and tell him, you know, praying for you and try to encourage him. I don't know. Does anybody have Donald Trump's cell number? For Kathy? For her, not for me. No, none of us have his cell number. But you know, Christ doesn't need a, Christ's number is, it's, he's not unlisted. He's somebody that you and I can contact anytime, day or night. Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Maybe since we're on social media, maybe somebody will give me Donald Trump's number. I doubt it. Or they'll give me some fictitious number, right? And so we are grateful and thankful for his character, his compassion. And here's the final thing tonight, just briefly, his cross. His cross. The cross of Jesus Christ reveals man's sin at its worst, but God's love at its best.
That's good.
Yeah.
Man nailed Christ to the cross. But wait a minute. It was the love of Christ that allowed that to take place. Nobody forced him to die. Yes, they condemned him to death, and yes, they gave the death sentence, but Jesus made it very clear, you're not taking my life, I'm laying it down. I'm laying it down voluntarily. I'm doing this because I love you all. That's what he was doing. And so the cross of Christ reveals man's sin at its worst, but God's love at its best. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you enjoy the preaching of the cross? Do you enjoy hearing messages on the cross of Jesus Christ? Paul says, if you're saved, it's the power of God, the preaching of the cross is. To the lost, it's foolishness. It's foolish. It's crazy. You know, what do we got to hear a message on the cross for? That's what Paul was talking about. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. That's the lost. It's foolishness. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. There's power in the cross. There's power in the death of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14? Look at it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians 6, 14. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 14. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Paul gloried in the cross of Christ. That's how important it was to the Apostle Paul. He realized how important that cross of Christ was. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." This nature of the cross, he suffered a horrible physical death. The worst kind of death and suffering that anybody could suffer was on the cross.
That's right. Yeah.
It was beyond what we even understand or what we can fathom. When we read about what he went through, it's incredible. But something worse happened that day on the cross. He not only suffered a physical death, do you know that Jesus Christ himself suffered a spiritual death? A spiritual death. You say, how did he suffer a spiritual death? Him and his Father were separated for 3 hours at least.
Right.
3 hours he was separated from his Father, which was a spiritual, listen to me, a spiritual death that he suffered. So he suffered the physical death, which was bad enough. But then to go through that spiritual separation from his own Father topped it all off. He suffered for all the sins of the entire world. He suffered for all your sins and all my sins. And everybody's in this room and throughout the world he suffered for all of the sins. You and I can't put a number on the sins. You can't put a number on your own sins. Let alone the number on the 7.8 billion people in the world right now today. That's just living today. How about all of the past? Before Christ. And even those in the future yet. He suffered the worst kind of death that anybody could suffer. The worst kind of pain, physical pain, but the spiritual pain is something that you and I don't even understand. Because we've not... We were spiritually separated from God before salvation. And so he suffered. That cross was just a horrendous thing that he went through. The value of the cross. What's the value of the cross? You say there's value in the cross? There's salvation now is available to everybody. That's a great value. You ought to thank God that Christ died for you on the cross. And rose again after 3 days and three nights. But these are the values of the cross. Salvation is available to everybody. The power of sin has been broken. Power of sin has been stopped at the cross. You and I now don't have to sin. We sin because we choose to sin. The curse of the law has been lifted and eliminated. A new relationship with God has been secured by the cross. Fellowship with God has been restored again because it was once broken. Peace has been made with God. There's forgiveness of sins. There's cleansing of sin. There is justification with God. There's no more condemnation. There is no more fear of death for the Christian. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about dying.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going when I die. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Amen. Spiritual blessings are beyond what you and I can even fathom. The blessings that we have as a result of Christ dying on the cross and rising again after 3 days and three nights. We have an eternal inheritance because of the cross. Everything Christ got, we get. Isn't that a blessing? We have the same inheritance that Christ has. And this is one of the greatest of all, is Satan has been defeated.
Amen.
defeated.
Right.
Defeated. He has no power over you or I.
Yeah.
Unless the Lord grants him permission. We're reading through the book of Job in our Bible reading. And he had no, Satan had no power over Job until God gave him that permission to do that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then the next three words is, for consider him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What a blessing to know that Christ did so much for us on the cross.
Amen.
His character, his compassion, his cross. And folks, I'm about done. It's pretty early. Rich, you got a message? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Mary's got a message. I know she does.
That's only got 4 points and we don't want to hear it.
Look at Hebrews chapter 1. I can keep this going as long as I want. I am done with the message, I thought. I thought it was going to go a little longer tonight. But you're happy about that, right? But you got to come and get what you pay for. That's now, if you put a dollar in the offering or nothing, you'll be fine. But if you put more than that, you're good. Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in his last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That great white throne and that judge that was sitting on that throne was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, He died for us on the cross.
Amen.
Saved our souls. If you're saved tonight, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. But one of these days, every human being is going to come to Christ. Either at the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian, you and I, or at the great white throne judgment here for all of those that are not saved. And the sad thing is death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. You've got to have your name in the book of life.
Amen.
In order to enter into life.
Amen.
And so tonight the question is your name recorded in the book of life? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have not, you need to trust Him. Listen, He is God. He is Creator. His character is just beyond what you and I can understand. We're going to meet Him one of these days soon.
Amen.
His compassion brought Him to this earth to die for us. And His cross is where He died and where He laid His life down, shed His blood for us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Is He your Lord and Savior tonight?
Amen.
And Christian, what are you doing for the Lord?
Yeah, come on.
What are you doing for the Lord? Are you doing anything for God? Are you serving Him in some way, shape, or form? Do you read His book every day? Remember, this is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What do you do with this book every day? Ignore it? Or do you read it every day? Do you pray? Do you talk to Him? Are you in church when the doors are open? How is it that you are you faithful? Are you serving the Lord? That's the question I want to leave you. That's a question that you can only answer that. Christ did everything for us. We should be willing to do anything for Him.
That's right.
Father, thank You today again for this message. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Lord, I do praise You and thank You for Your goodness and mercy. You're so good to us. You have been so good to us. You're good to us every day of our lives. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for that. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody listening tonight outside of these walls or somebody here that's never trusted You as Lord and Savior,